So welcome to the next SEMO Marketing Podcast, the SEMO Fractional Marketing Podcast. My name is Simon Dell. I am the CEO of SEMO. If this is your first time listening in and you don't know how to spell SEMO, it's C-E-M-O-H, website SEMO.com. You can find out everything you need to know about us there. And if you want to connect with me, you can either do that through the website or you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm not very complicated to find. There are a few other Simon Dells out there, but it should be fairly obvious which one is me. Now, I'm doing this with barely any sleep today because, as an idiot, I got up at 2 o'clock this morning to watch England win their World Cup match, which will have been no interest to our guest whatsoever, who probably would have got up at 2 o'clock to watch England lose. So welcome to the show, Kirsty Dagnall. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Simon. And I do support England when it comes to football because Wales never get in.
Well, yeah, which is a shame because you have one of the best players who, you know, as in Gareth Bale, having played for many, many years, but
yeah.
Who just doesn't play now. But anyway, enough of the football talk. Kirsty, give us a little bit of an overview about who you are, what you do, your experience. I often say to people, explain it like it's one of those sort of 2-3 minute movie trailers, you know, and hopefully there's some explosions and some car chases in it as well. So.
Oh, yeah, a few explosions over the time, but we won't go into those. So I'm Kirsty Dagnall. I'm the founder of Beyond the Brief. We're a challenger agency, so we provide fractional CMO services from myself, very strategy-led, and then we use a team of freelancers and smaller agencies to develop. So what we do is offer an entry point for those businesses who can't quite afford big agency budgets, but they want that big agency quality. I'm not from Australia, but I've been living in Australia for the last 15 years. My background, I've been head of global marketing for a tech business. I've worked agency side, I've worked in finance, and all across strategy, marketing, and content, which is one of my favorite things to do.
Okay, that's good. And whereabouts are you based now?
I'm based in Sydney now.
Okay, cool. Whereabouts in Sydney?
In North Sydney.
Okay, all right, lovely. All right. Okay, so when we sat down, we were going to talk about the subject matter for today was this idea about building before you grow, which sounds like a very funky title. But so just for everyone's benefit, tell us what that means to you. What do you see the core challenge behind that statement?
Yeah, so there's a few scenarios, right? A lot of businesses who either haven't done marketing before or they've done bits and pieces but they just haven't found it work for them. Usually it's because there's nothing being put in place beforehand, a strategy to lead everything else. So often I see briefs come in and they say, oh, we want digital ads, for example, or we want to do LinkedIn. And my first question is, why? Why do you want to do that? And a lot of people jump into the execution of marketing before they even think of that why. And that's where things fall down. They end up spending so much money on something that doesn't work. A lot of people get burnt by agencies. And I'm not saying it's the agency's issue. I mean, in Australia, it's a very executional industry. Yeah. I think the issue is the thinking isn't being done before the doing. And without that, you're kind of just spraying and praying and hoping for the best. Mm. What I've found is if someone does say, we want to be on LinkedIn, it's usually because, say they're in the B2B space, they think, oh, we must be on LinkedIn. Or like if they're in the B2C industry, oh, we need to be on Instagram. But have you actually asked, are your audience there? Do they care about what you say? What are you going to say to that audience? It's that thinking that should be done beforehand that doesn't. And that's why a lot of businesses fail. So that's why it's really important to build. So build your strategy, build what you're saying, build who you're talking to before you even think about growing and going out to market.
you must have heard the claim from many businesses that you know, marketing doesn't work, or we've spent lots of money on agencies and it didn't work. That must be a sentence that resonates and repeats over and over for people you speak to, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. And agencies do get a bad rap. I mean, I'm not saying all agencies are great or all agencies are bad. Like, there are some excellent ones out there and there are some dodgy ones out there. I think the issue is, again, the thinking hasn't been done. And that's why it's not working.
Yeah. I tend to find that agencies, you know, this is one of the points of difference from us as a business, is that you know, we approach everything with an agnostic approach. It's not, you know, we're not selling a particular solution. And I think agencies, sometimes if you're a creative agency, you're approached by a company who wants something creative.
Yeah.
And you're not diagnosing the actual problem. It's like somebody coming in, I often use the analogy like a mechanic coming in and, you know, and you saying, you know, I think there's something wrong with my car. I think it's the radiator. Can you replace my radiator? Mm. And the mechanic might sit there and go, well, it's not the radiator, it's your exhaust. And the client going, no, it's the radiator I want you to replace. I think the problem is the radiator. And then, you know, the mechanic replaces the radiator, and then, you know, a week later they're back and saying, well, it's the car still not working. So yeah. It's that sort of, you know, I think the danger, and I call this about clients all the time, is the danger of self-diagnosis.
Yeah.
For some unbeknown reason, marketing seems to be something that businesses are absolutely happy to self-diagnose.
Oh, yeah. I think it's one of the only industries where everyone thinks they're a marketer. Everyone just thinks...
You don't self-diagnose your car. You don't self-diagnose your own health.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people were like, yeah, look, we're going to self-diagnose the problem with our marketing here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, especially for those businesses wanting to grow, they want quick wins, right? They want leads. They want things done straight away. And growth creates pressure. That pressure creates urgency. And so the whole thinking behind it gets left behind because everyone's in a mad rush to just get their name out there. And they end up almost damaging their brand in the meantime.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned, we talked about the idea of there being sort of three pillars behind what you do or what you're suggesting. And those are audience, product, and industry. Why those three? Because, you know, there's been many people over the years who've talked about, you know, the core parts of marketing, but why do you think those three are so important?
Oh yeah, there are so many different marketing ways to go about it, the 4 P's, the 7 P's.
Yeah.
I think for me, after doing this for such a long time, it makes sense in a way that it gives you an entire perspective of the business. So if we start with audience, we want to know, first off, who are we speaking to? Because that's going to determine what we write about, what our message is, where we actually place our marketing. For example, like, so if we're writing for a B2B audience in tech, where are they going to be? And the way I look at questions when it comes to audience is not just how old are they, where do they live, but go a bit deeper into what do they care about, what keeps them up at night, what goals do they have for the next 5 years. The way I do that before any project starts is get stakeholder interviews. You need to be speaking upfront with the people who are dealing directly with your customers because they have the knowledge about the customers that you will never get from any online research. If you can, get customer interviews as well. Speak to your account team, hear from them about what's concerning your customers, what are the main issues, or what do they love about your product or service. If you paint this picture, this persona of an audience you're speaking to, it makes it so much easier to understand what message you want to relate back to them. In terms of the next stage, what I want to do then is take from the audience to the business. So look at your business. Again, speak to people within the business. you need to be able to align your marketing with your overall commercial strategy. So we look at commercials, we look at what your business does, why you're different, why you're a standout. Then you actually look at, okay, well, what has the business done to date in terms of what marketing's worked, what hasn't, what emails are getting the most opens, what messages are actually landing, because then you've got qualitative and quantitative data that back up the business proportion. The third thing,
I just want to ask you a question on that second one, is one of the challenges that I often find with a lot of businesses is that you made the point about what makes a business stand out, right? And I think that's one of those self-diagnosis things. It's one of those, you know, the business can go, this is why we're different. Do you find a lot of the people that you work with have a, let's use the phrase overinflated sense of why they're different perhaps in the marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps. I think what I like to do, and this kind of takes me to my third pillar, which is the industry and what goes on around
you.
So yeah. It's always to get the internal perspective, and just to segue to the third part, which is the industry, I bring it back to, okay, we know our audience, we know what our business is saying. Now let's have a look at what's going on around us. Let's look at what our competitors are saying. Let's look at world events, like, how has the war affected businesses? How does that change how you service your clients? What's happening in terms of government regulations, compliance needs, like data privacy, all of that? And then when you get those three together, you can start to bring in a dissected version and go back to the business and say, actually, you think this, from what I've heard from you, your team and your customers, as well as what's going on around us, here's where I actually think your business sits, and here's where the value that you can give is, what is.
Everything you've said there makes complete sense. It feels more of a holistic business approach than perhaps just a marketing approach. Do you think taking this approach is, you need more than just marketing knowledge, or you need more than just the marketing data? Do you often feel yourself straying beyond just the marketing part of their business?
Definitely, not necessarily data, but in terms of marketing knowledge, nothing too big. It's just common sense. It's thinking about things in a way where you're like, how can I get more of a picture of this business that will directly impact our marketing in a positive way? It's more about knowledge gathering and doing it in a way that helps streamline that whole process to go to market.
I also just want to touch on there, because I think my point there is very much about how finances and money affect these decisions that you're trying to make with the client, because with all the will in the world and all the great data and the stakeholder interviews and all those kind of things, unless somebody in the business is willing to bankroll the decisions that you want to make, you find sometimes when you're going through this process that you are banging your head, for want of a better expression, banging your head against a brick wall from a financial perspective, there's often a will to solve the marketing problem, but not necessarily a will to spend the money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always going to be a challenge, right? The whole, I think marketing, especially now, has found it a lot more difficult to get that budget and drive that. But This system of doing the audience, the business, the industry, it simplifies that whole piece. I mean, strategy, I think it's seen as one of these exercises that takes a lot of time, a lot of budget, a lot of back and forth, but it doesn't. I mean, we can get a strategy in place in, let's say, minimum 2 weeks. Like, it's not a long process. It's just taking it's taking a different approach. It's just thinking about ways, things in a different way. Yeah. And when it comes to like the execution, so obviously once you've got the strategy, you have to pay for everything that comes after it. You don't have to do everything. You can do bits at a time. And that's what something I actually promote is piloting things. So you've got the strategy, you know where your audience are, you've got a pretty good hypothesis of what messaging will work, how it will work in market. Go start small and see if it works. That's the best way to do anything. If you chuck your money into like everything at once, like it's like throwing like 10 tennis balls at once, you're only going to catch one, right? If you just focus and like you can scale from there. And that's usually where I kind of win on the finance side.
Well, and obviously the finance is a pressure point. One of the other pressure points that I was going to say is often these companies are already watching their competitors do these things. You know, so there's this kind of idea, if they're doing that, we should be doing this, and if they're doing it, it must be right. Why do we need the whole strategy thing if we can see that they're succeeding? So that's obviously a challenge, because I find a lot of companies will look at other companies and just assume that because what the other company is doing, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all. And honestly, the amount of times I've heard someone say, oh, well, they're doing it, why aren't we doing it? Like, well, no, you don't do something. Just, it's like that whole saying, if so-and-so jumped off a cliff, would you do the same?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's, but I think I like the idea of what you said, is that, you know, strategy doesn't necessarily need to take a long time. I think that's the thing that pains a lot of people. They're like, oh, I don't want to get bogged down in 3 months worth of, you know, strategy and all these kind of things. When you can start doing things, not necessarily straight away, but start doing things with a bit of planning.
Yeah.
So I think we've kind of touched, my next question, I think we've kind of touched on a little bit, but I was going to talk about how that strategic input then translates into a commercial marketing plan, because, well, actually maybe I haven't asked that question, but you know, you do your thing. You do your thing, talking about your pillars, you know, and building before you grow. What's the, once you've done that, and once you've gone back to the client and said, okay, here's what I recommend. Mm-hmm. What's the next step from there for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So for a lot of the businesses I work for, they are sitting in, they're not the big brands who are already established. They haven't been around for years. They're not starting from scratch, but they're kind of starting from a later point than the bigger brands. So where I usually go after the strategy in place is always content. Like, is your content reflecting what we've discovered in market? If so, great. If not, which is more often than not, then I do a little bit of a framework that basically acts as a playbook for all content. And I make sure that that content is consistent from awareness to staff posts to internal documentation. It doesn't have to be anything too complicated, but it's just maintaining that cohesiveness across the business. And from there, we also take the audience understandings. We figure out exactly where they are. We look at the client's budget and we're like, okay, well, if this is your budget for the next 3 months, let's pilot this or this, depending on the strategy. And then we do a 3 month pilot. If something works, you should always turn it to always on. And that means it's always running in the background, because if it delivers you leads, why wouldn't you? Yeah. If it doesn't work, stop, pivot, move on to something else. That is always strategy led.
Let's talk about content. Let's go off that a sidebar for the minute.
Yeah.
Look, content is, you know, it's the cornerstone of most marketing these days.
Yeah.
And if I ask you this question, it's a very open-ended question, but what do you like from a content perspective? Because I know everybody's tastes are different, but what do you digest when it comes to content?
I think the first piece is having an opinion on something.
Okay.
You see a lot of generic stuff out there at the moment, especially with generative AI. I mean, everyone's jumping on it. Of course, it makes life easier for a lot of people, but there's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't have a point. I think you need to have an opinion in the market and you need to have a point. And then the second one is you need to be talking to your audience. It's very like simple in my mind, but I still see a lot of content on websites and collateral that's wee. Like, so what? No one gives a shit. Like, talk to your audience. So I think those two, I love storytelling. I love it when a piece of content kind of takes you, it sets the context, it kind of gives you more information, things to consider, something that's actually useful.
Yeah, I like that idea of, I think opinion is something that AI can't do.
Exactly.
An opinion based on experience is a nuance that AI just doesn't have. And I think of all of the content that I've shared over the years that's gone viral, for want of a shitty word, it's always been where I've had an opinion about something.
Mm-hmm.
Largely a opinion that perhaps has two clear sides to it, and lots of other people disagree. Do you think there's a danger that sometimes that you... Because I always find that I'm very true to my sort of personal brand, which is generally an opinionated, argumentative idiot.
Well, you're English, so.
Stop this right now.
I'm only joking.
Otherwise, I could say something very nasty about the Welsh. So anyway, but no, I mean my point is that. I've forgotten what my point was.
opinions.
Yeah. So, but opinions can be polarizing.
Yeah. Right?
And that there's a danger that perhaps if you've built up your business brand to be this all-encompassing, supportive, helpful brand, that you start suddenly having opinions on things, you know, and polarizing opinions on things, that could potentially be damaging for your brand. How would you navigate that?
Well, I mean, it will come down to the audience piece as well. Like when you develop a persona, you can also go as deep. And if it is something that you want to do, if you know that you've got stakeholders in the business or your founder is a very opinionated person, you can have a look down to the values level and say, is our audience actually going to align with this? And there should be maybe a rule of thumb, like a green, amber, red, like topics that you kind of categorize, and when you're doing it from a business perspective, maybe avoid the red ones.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have to avoid certain topics because I, again, through my experience and my personal lived experience, I have a very I feel drawn to defending men. Right, and this is a challenging area to be in. Is that I think a lot of men do a very good job out there, and I think in terms of being fathers and being whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And there is a lot of people that will generally assume that men are terrible people and all these kind of things. And sometimes when you go into a position where you're and especially when it comes to suicide rates and things like that, which is ridiculously high when it for men, certain men of a certain age as well, so my age bracket. It's very easy that defending men can seem like you're attacking women. And so sometimes I think from a business perspective, I have to make sure, because the bulk of the people that we work with, a lot of the contractors and marketing people are female. We're a very female-led business. But this can be a challenge a lot for a lot of businesses, is that if you take a positive stance in something in terms of an opinion, that can often be taken as having a negative opinion of something else. It's quite a minefield, isn't it?
It is. Like, even it's like a jumping on the bandwagon thing if you say something nice, and if you say something that people don't agree with, sometimes it's a lose-lose.
But I think the biggest danger is not doing something.
I agree.
And I think that people go, oh, well, this could damage the brand, and this could, you know, all these kind of things. But the biggest problem is to sit there and be passive in the background while the world is moving on and you're not moving on with it.
Yeah, exactly. And there are ways to do it in a way that isn't so public as well. Like, I can't remember what it was. I think there was a Mother's Day issue, because now they're saying, oh, you can't say Mother's Day because of people who might not have a mother, and they need to consider things like that. And a company who, I think it was a health skincare brand, they didn't go out to market with anything, but they sent an email to their customers, and it was very heartfelt, it was very genuine, and it didn't feel forced. And I think because they didn't amplify that beyond their customer base, it just made it a whole lot different. And I think that's another thing, again, with the content. It's like how you speak with emotion, you speak as a human in that way. It's always gonna land with the, like, if depending, but it will land.
But also, I don't think in this day and age, if something doesn't land, if you make a mistake, I don't think that's terminal in this day and age. You know, there's you still see people getting cancelled through social media, but generally, I often say some people, you know, make a mistake and put their hand up and go, yeah, right, that was not smart. We could have done better. And that cycle is often that people will forget that and move on. So. Look, so last question I've got for you today is that if you're in, if someone's listening to this and the company is just, you know, chugging along, spending money on marketing, and it might be working, it's not, you know, and I think that's probably one of the things, is that often people that have a marketing, they're doing things, and it seems to be okay, but sometimes these companies don't have any benchmark of what's good and what's bad.
Yeah.
So what do you suggest? Is it that they just stop, or that they just, you know, take stock of what they're doing and review it all? Or, you know, if they're in that position, they're doing something, what do they do? What do they do?
I think don't stop if something seems to be working. Take stock, definitely. I think it's all about time, right? And marketers are known for being this group of people who are like, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. Like, you can find a day or two to spend on looking at your business, seeing what's actually working and what isn't driving leads. Attribution is a very hard thing to measure with a lot of businesses. So finding out where a sale came from can be very difficult, but as much as you can, I think marketing, there's always going to be a little bit of unknown, but if you use your common sense, you could do it. So I would take stock of what's working. I would have a look at the industry, seeing what your competitors are doing, not to copy them, but to, like, say, here's a good example, right? What I like to do is look at competitors' Google reviews and see what they're doing wrong, and then see, okay, well, if they're doing that wrong, maybe that's something that we can talk to, right? Yeah. So it's just simple things like that. Maybe see what's going on in the world. Read the fucking news and see, okay, well, if this is happening here, how's it going to affect our customers? Should we be talking about it more? Can our product help in a different way? It's just taking stock, as you mentioned. Just spend 2 days on it and put some notes down. Speak with your team, speak with your salespeople, your key stakeholders, your senior leadership, and just kind of bring back some time in your today to take a step back and think, is this the best we could be doing? And if not, how can we make little changes to kind of move forward?
couple of points there. I'm not going to go into the attribution thing because that's a whole other point.
Oh, yeah. We'll be here for hours.
There's a lot of theory around, you know, you'll never know where somebody bought from. So the thing is to create a sort of holistic communication plan through lots of different channels and just focus on all of those, because eventually, if it's done well, people will contact you, you know.
Yeah.
They may go into your website and then Instagram, then pick up the phone, all those kind of things. But there was a, I'll maybe get a chance to talk about it in another podcast. Maybe I've already talked about it, but the Virgin Airlines felt that they would invest in lots of different areas in order to grow the brand. They knew some of them they could see where they were actually getting results, but some of them they couldn't, but they didn't stop investing in those other areas.
Yeah.
They saw it as a holistic approach rather than, they overinvested in the ones that they could see results in, but they didn't stop investing in the other ones.
Yeah.
If that makes kind of sense.
And that's the way it should be done.
And the other interesting thing you said there about the Google reviews, I saw this radical, read this radical thing, so radical, so pre-exaggerating that a little bit there. But they were talking that when you go and look at a competitor's Google reviews, don't look at the ones where they're doing badly. Look at the ones that they're doing well and do that. Because if they're successful in some areas, if the customers are coming to them because the service is brilliant, because a product is brilliant or whatever, that's what you should be paying attention to, not the negative ones that you're getting, that your competitor is getting.
Yeah.
Because essentially, for you to beat your competitor, you need to be better at the stuff that they're doing well, rather than capitalize on the stuff they're doing badly. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And it ties back to why marketing should not be like a siloed department. Mm. Marketing should be taking those insights to their product teams. So then the product teams or their customer service teams, like, that's the whole point of the strategy, is like you get this, not just marketing, but an overall view of your business that can help your marketing, yes, but help you grow as a business.
Look, thank you for your time today. Final comments, final 60 seconds of, you know, Kirsty insight or Kirsty wisdom, whatever, or Welsh wisdom. That's what you call it. The Welsh wisdom.
The Welsh wisdom. Look, I think we've covered a lot. I would just say spending the time up front might seem like a big task, but it's much better and more efficient to do it up front than end up spending a year wasting money on the wrong things.
Brilliant. And if anybody wants to reach out to you, obviously they can find you on LinkedIn. I don't imagine there's that many Kirsty Dagnalls out there, but where else can they find you?
LinkedIn, beyondthebrief.au is my website, but yeah, always on LinkedIn.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much for that today, good luck with the business.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Simon.